In terms of the agenda, we are on item number one, which is opening and welcome. As usual, I would like us to bow our heads and observe a moment of silence for prayer or meditation. Thank you. Well, greetings to everyone. I'd like to welcome and extend my greetings to the honorable members, the support staff, the delegation from the Department of Defense, Department of Public Works, and National Treasury. I have a feeling that National Treasury is far, far away from us. If you can come a little closer, I'm expecting, okay, 1, 2, 3 chairs after you, ne? Okay, no, sorry. They say they are reserved for members. Okay, thanks. It's okay. All right, but thanks for coming. My greetings also go to everyone present, including our esteemed guests. The objective of this meeting is to receive a report back on two critical issues. The first issue being the progress made in resolving the poor state of military facilities in the Free State province. The second issue is with regard to modalities of devolving the maintenance and refurbishment function from the Department of Public Works to the Department of Defense. Honorable Minister, welcome. We reserved this seat for you. I thought maybe you could, you know, if you could just be next to me so that if we have to whisper, you know, I don't have to raise my voice. Thank you very much. Oliver, you're welcome. We had already started, but it's fine. You're not too late. Well, in August 2018, the committee undertook an oversight visit to inspect the state of military facilities in the Free State province. The poor state of military facilities left members overwhelmed. It became clear that the Department of Defense It became clear that the Department of Defense is better placed to do maintenance and refurbishment of its own facilities. And this was confirmed by all stakeholders in a follow-up meeting with the Portfolio Committee on Defense, National Treasury, and the Department of Health, Public Works, and Defense. The meeting resolved on the establishment of an interministerial task team to look into modalities of devolving maintenance and refurbishment function from the Department of Public Works to the Department of Defense. Honorable members, today we are here to look at the progress made and also agree on a way forward. So now, as we await to listen to the briefing, it is critical that we remind officials that the military is our last line of defense. I repeat, it is our last line of defense, and it deserves the best. Thank you very much. Well, let me welcome all members who've just joined us now. Honourable Member Imam, thank you. So you are all welcome. Let's feel free. I'm looking forward to a constructive and a meaningful engagement. So we will then move on to the next item of the agenda, which is presentation. Yeah, thank you. I'm sorry, it's apologies. Shall we get the apologies from our secretariat?
Good morning, Chairperson. Good morning, Honourable Members. We have two apologies from members, one from Honourable Martins, who's on study leave, and from Honourable Sinokonyane, who's off sick. And then we have an apology from the Minister of Defence, who will not be able to attend the meeting due to commitments outside the country, and also for the Secretary of Defence, who's also out of the country. And then we also have an apology from the DG of the Department of Public Works, who is in a meeting with the Portfolio Committee on Public Works, which is also at the same time.
Honourable members, these are the apologies. Do you accept the apologies? Okay, I see you want to come.
Thank you very much, Chair. Honourable Alan McLachlan sent me a WhatsApp message yesterday saying that he wouldn't be able to attend.
Okay.
I would imagine that he hopefully did send through a more formal apology.
Okay. Just to remind Honourable Member McLachlan that apologies must be written and forwarded to the Secretary. We're just sending a reminder. Let's stick to the rules. Let's not bend the rules. There's a risk of bending the rules. So let's just stick to the rules. But thank you very much. Do you accept the apologies? Apologies accepted. We will then proceed to item number 3, which is presentation. Honourable Minister, thank you so much for making time to come and brief us on the feedback from our previous meeting. We are not taking it lightly. We know you're very busy, but we are really grateful that you came. You made time for us. So we'll then hand over to the Honourable Minister to lead the presentation.
Thanks, Chairperson. I'll just make one or two comments and then hand over to the officials, which I guess they will make a joint presentation. The Chairperson and Honourable Members and senior officials of both departments, thanks for the opportunity. And I've said before that I regard the committee system as the heart of our parliamentary democracy, holding the executive, the ministers and officials to account. Through your oversight, clear shortcomings in the operational performance of public works have been exposed. For that, painful as it might be to other people, or to admit that fault, the department must be thankful for this before something even more serious occurs. And through the wisdom, or its wisdom, the SCOA has proposed that certain maintenance functions should be handed over from public works to the Department of Defense. And as a person, I have no problem with that. Where other departments have necessary capacity, it actually makes sense to cut out the middlemen. Indeed, the officials from the department have already met to start developing detailed plan on the remedial work on projects that were not implemented efficiently, as well as on the process of the facilities maintenance and over. And indeed, as part of our white paper review process, we've been interrogating just what functions should remain with public works and what can be devolved. We do, however, need to keep this in mind, overarching legislation in particular. The Kiama, the Government Immovable Asset Management Act, number 19 of 2007, which entrusts the Department of Public Works with certain duties and responsibilities as the custodian of the government infrastructure. That's very important. So we need to note that as we devolve certain functions. Secondly, I think the most critical one, and then I'll be able to explain to the person and honorable members, that the issue of Kiama is not a problem as long as we are able to sit and delegate clearly, because we have to delegate some of those functions. The most important act which we must factor in here is the Public Service Act, which is pertinent to the present case, and which vests authority to assign functions to various departments in the Department of Public Service and Administration. It's therefore necessary that we don't move alone as public works and defense. We must engage the DPSA as part of this process, as well as the National Treasurer, of course. And I'm saying at ministerial level, because if you have to deal with that authority of that function, it must be written down. Of course, we are engaging to the degree that there are budgetary and human resource implications considerations, which should be given towards the moving of the functions and the mandates of the respective departments. It would, however, be important for us to also reflect on intergovernmental relations and cooperation, the framework which implores on us to make meaningful efforts in delivering on the mandate we are all given, lest we take up a responsibility of the executive by moving functions and responsibilities of the department on the basis of the current capacity deficiencies and competency challenges. I'm saying this, there was a debate between international relations and public works. There's even a bill now, which is going, I think it's going tomorrow. It's going, but it's coming to Parliament. It's an amendment. It came out after some research that the person who can transfer functions in between departments or even reconfigure certain things is the Minister of Public Service and Administration. It's not an arrangement between the two departments. So which then says to us, once we're done with this, we still have to go to that leg and go and convince the DPSA that this particular function, for these particular reasons, it must go to that particular side. The example of this which I can make is in relation to the function of the, what do you call them, the properties internationally. We are responsible as public works. But the reality is we are not there in every country where we have the properties. DERCO is in every country. Now that part which deals with international properties, it had to be motivated and given by the DPSA to say, we're removing this part from public works. We are delegating it to international relations. So that part is very, very important. As a result, in the amendment, they are also dealing with that particular issue. So it's not just an understanding between the two ministries. It's DPSA must be able to say, I've heard your argument. On the basis of this, therefore, we are now assigning this particular part of a facilities management in the case of defense to a defense. So I'm raising this thing to the Chairperson and members so that when it does just seem to be moving very slowly, we are seen to be trying to follow all the necessary processes. Because somebody might come later on and say, how did this happen? How did you transfer this function? How did you transfer this particular function? But as we have discussed now, I think the officials will be able to give the report as to where we are going, what has been done thus far, what is being envisaged to be done. I was just raising what I would call the legislative issues. But also, Chairperson, as members of the committee, the President did flag this issue of the reconfiguration of the department. You'd remember that at some stage, I think politicians will engage with that issue. Will engage with that issue. Maybe it will be done comprehensively as and when we are engaging with that particular debate as to how it's going to be initiated. But I think you will also have a second bite on this particular debate. But for now, it's just for operational purposes that we are going to get into this particular arrangement. I will leave it there and allow them to continue presenting. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Minister. Over to you, sir.
Thank you, Honorable Minister. Thanks, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members. My name is Jacob Maroga. I'm the acting head of the Property Management Trading Entity of the Department of Public Works. The presentation I'll be making is a joint presentation between Public Works and the Department of Defense. It is an output of work which was given to us by the two accounting officers of Public Works as well as Defense. I think the history of the report has been given in that on the 4th of September, this committee considered a report after a site visit of the Bloemfontein military facilities. Out of that meeting, it was resolved that Inter-Ministerial Task Team be set up to consider the handover of the infrastructure maintenance and refurbishment function from the Department of Public Works to the Department of Defense. The resolution also said that consultation should be done with National Treasury on the implication of the devolution, and a report should be handed back here within 6 weeks. The two ministers of the Department of Public Works and the Department of Defense considered the above and directed the two accounting officers, being the Director General of Public Works and the Secretary of Defense, to process the committee's resolutions. When you come to slide number three, the accounting officers engaged and instructed as follows, that there has to be a two-pronged strategy. On the one side, the officials of Public Works and the officials of the Department of Defense need to address the immediate issues affecting the facilities in the Bloemfontein area. They resolved that the immediate focus should be all the issues that have been raised at the three military hospitals, the Bloemspruit Air Force Base, and the Army Support Base in Bloemfontein. On the other side, they instructed that the official should commence with the process of dealing with the modalities of the transfer or devolution of the maintenance and refurbishment function from the Department of Public Works to the Department of Defense. They also resolved that the two departments must approach National Treasury to devise the program on the modalities of the handover, and they also acknowledged that given the size and the implication, planning should happen in the next financial year with the view that the actual transfer should happen in the financial year commencing in 2020. Given the fact, and I think as we go through the presentation, you'll see what work needs to happen before devolution happens. So, in addressing the immediate issues for Bloemfontein, that's slide 4, an assessment of the facilities was done jointly by the Department of Public Works and the Department of Defense. The anticipated cost estimates were established based on the high-level condition assessment, and the commitment by the two accounting officers was that whatever funding is required for to address the immediate issues will be sourced within the current allocations. And DPW has devised in the status report, which is attached to this presentation, and a plan on the affected facilities, and we'll go into the details of those issues. But on the matter of the modalities, we engaged the National Treasury, we engaged the officials of National Treasury that deals with the Department of Public Works finances, as well as the officials that deals with the Department of Defense. Together with Defense and the team, we said there are four key issues that we need to look at. One, we need to review all relevant legislation affecting this transfer. And those legislation are listed there, and all of them have in it issues to do with roles and responsibility around the properties of defense. It's the Defense Act, it's the Endowment Act, and the Giama Act that the Minister has elaborated on. The teams also resolved that given the possible change of the DOD's organizational structure to affect the move and the effect on institutional arrangement, there needs to be a deep engagement with the Department of Public Service and Administration, given the fact that obviously there's going to be personnel implication, and as Minister indicated that the act on that need to be reviewed as well. The National Treasury was quite explicit in terms of what is required from their side. The first thing the National Treasury said is that the Department of Defense needs to confirm its aim to become what is called a custodian of their entire property portfolio. Then flowing from that, they must specify, quantify all resource implications, including financial implications of any proposed function shift, that the cost of all planned acquisition of immovable asset, including through delegations of custodianship functions, must be specified and quantified, and that the full life cycle cost, management cost of immovable asset under the custody of DOD must be specified and quantified. I think it is imperative, and as we show the extent of the value of the asset and the transaction that we have with the Department of Defense and Public Works, this is an extensive work because it has huge budgetary implication for both, for the two departments, as well as the planning for National Treasury. Then lastly, the above needs to be done taking cognizance of the extent of the defense portfolio and the extent of the Guyama properties and the implication on the revenue to public works. Currently, it recovers from a Department of Defense through the user charges. Now, we go to the summary of the Department of Defense portfolio that currently Public Works manages. We have excluded here the endowment properties, and we still manage a significant amount of the endowment properties, but here we focus on the properties, the non-endowment properties. We indicate the land parcels. There are 29,000 land parcels that are for defense, the total for Public Works. We just saw on the left it's our total portfolio. You could say 30,000 land parcel, about 90,000 buildings. When you look at what is allocated to the Department of Defense, 2,300 land parcel and 25,000 buildings. So in effect, in terms of properties, defense makes almost 30% of our total portfolio, valued at 14.5 billion. When you add land parcel, defense portfolio in public works is worth about 18 billion. So the two pie charts on the left just indicate the as I've indicated, but on the right, in terms of the transactions, we transact with Department of Defense to the tune of 3.6 billion. Obviously, these numbers are not static. This is just the current financial year. And that transaction is made out of the following. We pay on behalf of defense 1.1 billion of municipal services, which will be electricity, water, and rates to municipalities. That amount of money we recover from the Department of Defense. Then we have leases that we manage on behalf of the Department of Defense worth about 432 million. We have a capital budget that gets allocated every year. It goes through defense for repair and refurbishment worth close to a billion. Then we receive from the Department of Defense what is called accommodation charges. That you could see as rent that we get for the properties that they use in our portfolio. So the last pie chart just indicates of the accommodation charges, that the rent, that is the rent that we receive from all of our clients, is of the value of 4.5 billion, and the defense makes 24% of the rent that we recover from our clients. This is just to indicate, Chair and members, that clearly, in order to articulate and plan and quantify the modalities and implication for the transfer, this transactions and the amount of monies are involved needs to be well quantified, and those that have to move to defense must be also well quantified, and National Treasury will be able to do the allocations once those quantifications have been made, including the personnel that may have to be either shifted or sourced anew from for the Department of Defense. So now moving to the projects, Chair and members. Firstly, there are two categories of projects that we have articulated. There are projects that are currently registered that are being executed in the military complexes in Bloemfontein. And the first page talks to those. Then there is the next set, which talks to all the projects. Now, you'll see some duplication that when you talk to all the projects, it includes some of the registered projects. So when you see duplication, it is just in making sure that when you talk about all projects, it includes the projects that are already registered. Chair, and I'm in your hands here. I can go detail line by line, and I've got my project head of projects from the National Department of Public Works, and I also have the head of projects in Bloemfontein, and the General Ledwaba as well is well acquainted with this project. We can go into the depth of them, each one of them. But I'll give you an overall summary of what these projects are. Firstly, as I said, the first page just talked to what is already registered. There are those projects in the first page. There are five projects from design stage, construction stage, first delivery, and pre-design stages. So those are the first page. Then the second set takes each one of the projects, and this was developed mainly from what the condition assessment has shown, but also based on the report that we received from the site visit of the committee. So the second set talks to each project, where is it in the facility and where is it in the project status, the value of the project, when is it anticipated to start, when is it anticipated to begin, and the comments around the progress around each of the projects. I'll pause here to check whether, Chair, you'd want us to go one by one or you'd want us to take it as read and we can go into the detail of each one if members want to unpack each of the projects. But safe to say, as I've indicated, between ourselves and defense, we have said we will prioritize this project. We will make sure that they are funded within our current allocation. We will have to shift money from certain projects. But also, just to indicate, to give you the complete picture, between ourselves and Department of Defense, we've got a joint task team that looks at the entire portfolio of defense. And this is just project related only to the Bloemfontein military complexes. I'll pause there, Chair, and I'll take questions. Thank you.
Check with you. Do you want Mr. Maruha to go through the project list, or you are fine? You will be able to read this on your own so that we can then move to the interrogation of the presentation. Honorable Member Paulson.
Thank you, Chairperson, and good morning. And thank you for the part of the presentation that I've seen. Chairperson, I think it's, you know, the fact that there's a number of duplication, as the presenter said, of projects. You know, if you look at the first one, 55231, Bloemfontein, Tempe, and then at the bottom, you'll get Bloemspruit, and then below that, Bloemspruit Air Force, below that, Tempe again. You know, it creates a kind of a confusion as to how money is allocated for those different aspects of that particular project. And, you know, it's not, I don't think it's good accounting practice even or reporting practice to create that confusion. We'd like to see it separated as well so that we can probably, we can know exactly where the money is going. You know, this is in a process of transition where projects are going to be transferred between the two departments. So we need to know exactly what amount of money is also going to be transferred. And it's not going to help us if it's grouped in that fashion. Thank you very much.
That's the proposal by the Honourable Member. But Honourable Member, remember the question was, should we go through the list, you know, project by project, or must we take it that members, at least they have this information on their spare time, they can then study these projects.
That's fine.
Yes, Honourable Member Imam.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you for that presentation. Now, indeed, Chair, I think we have the information in front of us. If any members want to interrogate it, I think it's a futile exercise going on item by item, because we are trying to find a resolve the issues surrounding public works and defense holistically. So going item by item at this stage is not going to. And also, I think we need to consider time constraints by 1 o'clock if you're going to go by all that in one sitting. So I'd be quite satisfied with this.
Is Honourable Member Imam representing the views of all the members? Okay. Thank you very much. Through the whole list, does that then conclude your presentation?
Yes, indeed.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you very much for the work done for us to get this progress report. You can see that indeed the task team has worked hard on this report. But what's important is that there is work that has been done to take us forward. I'm very happy with it. And the good working relationship between yourselves. Mine would just be, you know, just a caution on timeousness. It's not what I'm saying, because the Constitution says it's got to be timeous. You know? So the timeousness, because I see some of the deliveries 2020. When we went there, we were so overwhelmed, we then said, hey, we need... We actually described the whole thing as a crisis. What do you do in the case of a crisis? You come up with a crisis intervention. So when you talk 2020, you know, in 2025, it doesn't respond to the crisis description that we gave. But it's fine. There is work done. Honourable members, I would like to invite you to interrogate the presentation. Honourable Member Imam. Honourable Member Wabaza. Honourable Member Manana. Honourable Member Paulson.
Thank you.
Yeah. All right. Over to you, and
Thank
in that
you.
Order.
Thank you, Chair. Now, for me, there's a precedent that's going to be set here, if I understand this thing correctly. Because you are now taking stuff that was under the Department of Public Works and handing it over to the Department of Defense. The first question is, are we then setting a precedent? Is all other departments going to follow? Is health going to follow? Is water and sanitation going to follow? And all of them going to ask that, can you hand our buildings and whatever to us, so we're going to be responsible? And what is the implications on that in terms of the Department of Public Works? Minister, you are correct. That was one of the issues I raised a long time ago about international relations. It was brought to my attention. There are buildings that are there. We don't even know they are our buildings. And I'm hopeful that you are still trying to identify all those buildings that belong to us in different countries that are standing there. But some of the challenges that I found is a capacity in the Department of Public Works. And specifically when I say capacity, if you're dealing with buildings to do with defense, what we found is that your department does not engage with the Department of Defense when it comes to implementing anything to do with these buildings, simultaneously with Department of Health and Police and everybody else. Police will be security, so you don't. That was one of the shortcomings, and I think that matter is getting attention, and I think you've realized there must be more engagement. In other words, if you've got public works, you need to have an expert on health in public works if you're going to be doing work for public works. If you don't have that, you're going to do your own thing. It's not going to be in line with what they actually need. So it's the same thing with defense in terms of that. Then you seem to be using, in my understanding, a lot of implementing agents and consultants. It comes up repeatedly, even though we are saying we need to cut down on that. I'd like you to tell me, what are you doing in terms of that to cut down? And added to that is the challenge of contractors. Are you using contractors that have not been delivering timeously and that have been in default, and they should have been red carded a long time ago and done away with? But remember, and like the Chair alluded to just now, when you talk about delays in projects not being completed timeously, it's an escalation of costs, and if it runs into years, it's running into billions of rand. So it seems to be a problem. I'm going to stop with one last question, although I have a lot more. Now, you spoke about moving money from one to the other. I'm not sure how you're going to do that and whether you are able to do that and you have the due authority to do that. And I want to know, how is it going to impact on the other projects if you're going to take money from one project and put it into the other project? Would the effect it's going to have on the sustainability of your department now, because a lot of the work is being going to different departments, your staff, your everything, what is going to happen? Because I see you working on a little bit of a profit here. You're buying at 3 point something, selling at 4 point something. It's very good, so you should be self-sufficient like a business. And this is what I say. Government department should run like a business. But now you're not going to get that anymore, so what's going to happen? Thank you, I'll stop there.
Thank you
for your intervention. Next, Honourable Member Gwabaza.
Thank you, Chairperson. I would like to appreciate the input that was made by the Minister at the beginning, where particularly where he clarified the role players that need to be engaged in order to resolve this issue. The Department of Public Service and Administration, National Treasury, and the two departments that are already involved. Just to ascertain whether the two other departments, Public Service and Administration and National Treasury, have already been engaged, perhaps at an initial discussion, or if not, when is that likely to happen? I want to link this with the question, the observation that the Chairperson made earlier on, that this process is likely to take us the next phase of the medium-term expenditure framework to 2021. And I would like to ask the question, just besides legislative processes, what else would necessitate this length of time? Because as the Chairperson was saying, matters are quite urgent. Might I add, Chairperson, that we read the report of the Portfolio Committee on Defense, where it looked at all other military facilities across the country, and it looks very similar to our own report. So it worries a bit that this process is going to take that length of time, and that's why I would like to know what, other than legislative processes, what else needs to be further considered. On slide 4, if you could just explain on bullet 1, that last bit of that sentence, the high-level condition assessment, what does that mean? And in the second bullet, you're talking about issues to be funds to be sourced from the current allocation. Is it the allocation of the Department of Defense? Is it the allocation of the Department of Public Works? Perhaps the question might speak for itself, because probably defense pays you for the services. Or they allocate a certain amount of money to DPW for the services that we are talking about. Perhaps the question might be a bit moot, but rather, One would like to understand how then, if you say it will happen within the current arrangement, I'm referring to the current adjustments that are taking place. And if that is so, where is that located in the money bill that we are processing now? The last clarity I seek, when I first looked at slide 3.1 project progress, I asked myself, but there is no budgets attached to these things. And of course, if you go to 3.2 up to the end of that presentation, there are funds attached. I want to understand, therefore, that what is in 3.1 is further expressed in the following slides, attaching thereto the necessary budget. But having said that, I want to express the same worry that Honorable Sheikh Maim is raising about the contractors who haven't done a good job. In fact, they've done a bad job, according to the reports that we got. We would be interested to know which are those contractors that are being given these contracts and whether you have ascertained their capacity to deliver this time around. You know, we heard stories that a contractor would come in, work for 3 months, declare itself insolvent, and then disappear. And then another one is employed, does the same thing, and disappears. Sometimes the same person comes back, or the same company in a different name, but same person, come back, get the contract, does do the same thing, and then run away. That's the kind of story we were hearing. And that's why this time around we want to ask this question. Who are these contractors? Have you made sure that they have capacity, both technical, human, and financial capacity? Thanks.
Thank you very much for your intervention. Honourable Member Kwabasa, next. Honourable Member Manana.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Let me also welcome the presentation and the input from the minister. Let me start by the input by the minister. Minister, you've indicated that you still need to talk to DBSA. Is it not proper to engage them now, not in a later stage, so that they're in the process of knowing what is the planning of the two departments? Coming to the presentation, sir, you indicated that you have done the assessment, both departments. What exactly? Who are these people who did the assessment? Were from national or at a local level? The reason why I'm asking this, we were very disturbed to hear that the people down there, they were saying, we don't know anything yet. Everything's been done up at nationally. All this mess that we are seeing here, we can't account of it. As if they are just stooges. You are not even informing them that we are going to do this and this and this, because they are just amazed, as like ourselves. It seems that, I don't know whether the things that you were assessing, you realize that we were really depressed, the situation that we found there. You know, we used to take soldiers very seriously, very, very seriously. But what we saw there, we realized that we were not safe. who are not in good hands of soldiers. Those who were there, who were giving us the report, they would say, we don't know anything. There's no friends here, so there's nothing we can do. In the colleges, cottages of the students. They were saying, no, there are people from the location who are still in here because there's no fence, there's nothing we can do. As if everything is just laissez faire. And when I look at this report, it seems as if those things that were done there, they were not budgeted correctly from the onset. The hospitals, the maternity ward and the hospitals, the way it was constructed, we still wonder who draw those buildings. If we can get that information, because it's just an indication that that person does not know how the hospital works at all. The contractors, it's another issue. It seems as if they in Free State, I don't know what can I call it, Kumdlaloji. There's this contractor, it's liquidated this time, the following time, it's been given, but the people were saying, all these things are being done at national. We don't know anything, but this person who was doing this here is this one. And now it's been given this other work to continue with it. This side is saying, I'm bankrupt. This side is continuing with another name. You know, we felt very, very embarrassed, really. I must say so. We were so embarrassed. We were not expecting that in a defense. And people who were from the defense, they were saying, we don't know anything from public works. That is why we said, no, there's no way. You need to come, both of you, here and tell us exactly. And what is much and more painful is the issue of the managers at those levels who don't know anything. It's really undermining we're undermining them. Because you just send people to go to the hospitals, go and do this, and they are not informed and they don't know even the plans. And when everything is bad, people are asking them and they say, we don't know anything. We appreciate that we are doing something, but these monies that are not there, it shows that it seems as if this thing is not as ancient as we think of. In page what? This slice of yours does not have page. We said 3.3 project progress. We are saying once funding has been confirmed. Who is going to confirm this funding? And the consequences of the constructors. The roof in that three military hospitals, as we are approaching summer, it means it would be leaking every day.
Okay, do you want to come in? You may come in.
Thank you very much, Chair. Just going through the report, it seems that the majority of these issues are at the Tempe military base. And perhaps that suggests that the base hasn't been maintained for quite some time. And perhaps the costs could have been reduced dramatically if the Tempe military base had been maintained on a regular basis. I would suggest that strongly going forward. Also, at point number 8 on slide 3.3, under the description, it mentions the urgent replacement of 5 lead-reinforced doors at radiology. And it then says, which is a little bit disturbing, I think, it says, these defective doors were installed by the contractor during the building of the facility. So obviously blatantly telling us that the contractor installed defective doors. So I'd also like to find out, is there a way for us to recover the monies from the contractor for installing the defective doors? Thank you, Chair. And if we are doing so and if we are taking steps to recover the monies.
Thank you, Mr. Shuttleton. I just want to, it's on a point of clarity, this chart. Is it a chart talking to the Bloom situation or an overall chart on the budget for DOD? Okay. And then, indeed, thank you for the plan. I said there's work that has been done. Now, I see a broad plan. I think what would assist us so that we know exactly how you are going to implement is an implementation plan, because probably now we're asking about things that were supposed to be put under short term, like your sewer at the Bloemfontein Air Force Base. Ne? In your plan, you say the completion date is 2019. Sewer, 2019. So what happens between now and then? The sewer will just run like that as we saw it, and we said it's a crisis. I mean, that's why I say maybe the implementation plan will look differently, but this one doesn't tell a true story, so we're unable to understand exactly how you're going to respond in terms of the constitution that says it's going to be responsive to the needs of the people. And then, again, the repair of the roof. You remember what we said? It's not like it's something that we read about. We were there. We saw beds were removed from the third, is it the second floor or third floor to the second floor, and also that that ward was overcrowded. And we saw even, you know, it's like water lying on the floors of the, is it third floor? Second floor. Now, you can't say to us 2020, that's what we want to, you see, Baba, we really want you to take us serious. We mean it. We mean business. We did say, as we exit, we should at least exit at the end of this, knowing that some of these, this one is a short-term thing, very short-term. So it means on your current budget, these are the issues that need to be prioritized. I mean, water, beds had to be removed, and there's overcrowding. So if we are to respond, we can't wait for 2020 here, Baba. It actually ignites some chicken, you know, what flesh, what do you call it? Goosebumps, you know? We can't, because when we called you, we were responding to that. And then when you come here, you say to us, wait until 2020. Baba, where is 2020? You see, it does not respond to our need as this committee. We said we want to make an impact. We spend money, we went there. We also want value for money. So if this can be responded to with immediate effect. Can't wait. Can't. I mean, the sewer, you can't wait for 2019. Far. And then other pressures, including facilities management contract. Okay, that one was asked. Fencing around the general DVET training area. But fencing, ourselves, when we were there, we said, if you were to ask us, you know, from what we saw, what would be our first top priority? We all said fencing, because it means all the assets that are there are not safe. People can come in and steal, and we know what's happening. There are those people who know what is in there. They've got their own agenda somewhere. You know, we then said, let's protect so that nothing happens to the assets, which are very expensive at the Air Force Base. And also people with already removing some electrical gadgets and all those things. That's why we said fencing should be a priority number one. Maybe we're not reading this story correctly.
But if you give us an implementation plan, it will show us, because we even said your plan must come up with your short-term, medium-term, because we realize that there are things that need to be done immediately, you know, without postponing. So that's what we're talking about. So you can then, the fencing also still shifted to 2022. Ooh, that's far. Then by then, I'm sure those things would have been stolen. So we want to protect, you know, those assets from being stolen. So, okay, fine. Thank you so much. Let us then hand over to...
Chairperson?
Yes.
You just completely ignored me.
All right. My apology was, I thought I started with you. Who spoke first in this meeting from this side?
And then him. Thank you very much, Chairperson. I just come from the Portfolio Committee for Agriculture, Forestry and Fisheries and the User Defense for Anti-Poaching on the coast. So I can't believe it. We're training soldiers to go and protect fish. But be that as it may, and I'm happy that we've got a minister from the public works from the SACP. So I think, you know, I can, much of what I feel will resonate with you in that the Department of Public Works, and we're speaking about the modalities of the, not just the transfer, as to what would remain in public works afterwards. And I'd like to know whether there's a vision to actually build the real capacity in the Department of Public Works, where we are less reliant on contractors who have, I mean, if we're going to continue at this trend, I mean, we can't even manage a service level agreement because they do work half, they do work bad. I mean, I would hate to see, I mean, that if we continue in this fashion, what it would look like. What are the chances of us building skills within the Department of Public Works? Our own engineers, our own bricklayers, our own electricians, our own plumbers, civil, electrical. We can actually get this right at far less than what it's costing us to go and pay a contractor huge sums of money. Billions, and then also be at their mercy, because we're not even recovering the money that we lose in poorly completed projects. So if we build that proper state capacity to actually maintain our buildings, and because I like the fact that one of the functions of the Department of Public Works is actually to manage leases, right? So I'd like to know if the other skill that we're going to build there is for us to actually do real work, a skill that we can use throughout the start. It starts with public works to build real state capacity. To develop a state. And it's shocking to hear that our military facilities are amongst the worst. These are the people that we're going to depend on to protect our borders, to protect our coastlines, and we cannot offer them proper facilities. What attraction will there be for young men in the future to want to go to the military if this is what they're going to be subjected to? So I want to know, here's a golden opportunity to build real capacity, to have resources that we manage, that we pay, not some external service provider to do the work for us. We take actual responsibility to do the work. We have proper skills. We have a real capacitated Department of Public Works. Okay? And then, so those are the real, that to me could be a solution, because to continue with this, to just pass this model of outsourcing to the Department of Defense is not going to solve the problem. It's just going to pass the problem on. We solve the problem here, public works. We build the skills. You tell us what you need to fix up your facilities. We provide the resources. You should have budgeted on your side. Okay. I want you to think about it, because come 2019, when my party takes over government, this is what we're going to do. But you can start now already. I mean, we do have the similar ideology, I would imagine. Thank you very much, Jefferson.
Are you still dreaming about being a government? A future government?
We also dreamt about being in parliament, people said, but it's fine. The leases there on page, this one, the leases, those are Department of Defense buildings that are leased out, and then we also pay accommodation for buildings that we occupy. Am I correct? Okay. That's all. Thank you very much.
Okay. Just to remind members on why this exercise now. After we went there, now those who also did not have the opportunity of sitting in a joint meeting with the, both ministers being present and also expressing their views on the matter, is that we then proposed as this, there was a very strong proposal that the maintenance budget for the Department of Defense be transferred to them because of this very understanding that they also have the capacity, but also things have not happened, in Bloemfontein Air Force. Is it Air Force? Have I described it correctly? Bloemfontein? Come again? Or Bloemspruit Air Force?
But we know the whole Free State, that's corruption problem.
Okay, no, excuse me, wait, don't distract me, okay? So we then said, no, just for speedy, maintenance and correction of that status quo there, we then all agreed that let's transfer. It was a vigorous engagement that led us to a consensus on the transfer of this. I just don't want us to contradict ourselves. And I know if we say, why now transfer and all those things, it's because maybe members were not in that meeting, but it's okay. I do want you to know that there was a consensus that so that there can be an improvement in the Air Force, Free State Air Force, this is what we recommended. But I'm happy then we have been educated about other matters, which we did not know. But I'm sure yourself, Honorable Minister, because on that day we could have raised those things. So we have now learned through this crisis. Anyway, they say every crisis situation has got a learning effect. So we've learned a lot of things. But what's important is that there is progress. There's a plan, but we now want an implementation plan so that we can see exactly when is what going to be done, because roofing cannot be postponed to more than 2 years.
It must be done immediately. Serious. Immediately.
All right.
When
there's
a hole in the roof, you fix it. You don't need to destroy the whole building. That floor, that top floor where the roof is destroyed, is going to be damaged. The problem is going to get bigger. If you don't address it quickly, it's like a tooth. Little cavity, you don't have it filled, very soon you're going to need a root canal.
Okay. Shall I then control this meeting? If you speak, please, if you want to speak, just do it by a show of hands so that I can recognize.
My apologies.
Okay, thank you very much. I will hand over to this side, Honorable Minister and your team and the defense team and National Treasury. We will also expect you to make your input in this
discussion.
I'll just talk at the level of principle. Officials can talk about the details. An assumption that if you transfer the function to defense tomorrow, they will be able to do everything properly. It's wrong. Because you're moving from an assumption that they have all the technical skills to deal with construction, property management, and so on. They do not have all that skill. That's why it should be a process, gradually so. So an assumption to think that they will do everything tomorrow. That's why then you need a proper plan. I thought that I must make that particular point.
You're right.
Two. And I think there's a point which was raised about the issue of maintenance. And that's what is affecting all of us, the levels of government, local, provincial, and national. There's poor maintenance of the buildings or of the property of government. And if a property is not properly maintained, that property degenerates very quickly. By the time which you're trying to intervene, it's too late for you. It's just rickety. The cabinet has charged, as I said, the cabinet has charged us to come up with a strategy for facilities management for the whole government. If you listen the other day, there was a debate between us and defense about money for maintenance on the day-to-day as to where that money is. And I think the SecDef confirmed about 900 million, which was there with some money with us, some money with them. That's the picture with all the other departments. There's some day-to-day maintenance which has to be done by the departments themselves, but it's not being done. So that when we come in with upgrades as the Department of Public Works. And I think that must also be factored in. And I think the issue here is, what is government strategy of facilities management? How do you maintain these buildings? That's what we were charged to come up with. Because the way it has been done in public works over years, it has just been haphazard. Over years, not properly planned. Something very interesting also. Public Works doesn't just go out and maintain a building or upgrade a building. It depends on what the client department says. Hence, you see, this arrangement which we have made here, it's a proper arrangement. You sit together, you say, what are your needs? And then Public Works responds to the needs of the department. Joint planning, including the budget, it must be the department which says, the client department which says, we have so much in our budget. Therefore, let's plan together. You can do so much. So go and do now on the basis of this plan. And then we are satisfied or not satisfied. Sometimes people... Let me talk about police stations. It's the same debate. We want so many police stations. And then the first question is, do you have the money for those police stations? Sometimes they only realize that they need those police stations when a portfolio committee has gone into some oversight. They realize that, no, public works and so on. But at the end of the day, and that's why government is very poor, is proper planning. You know, I'm coming to public works for the second time, Jefferson. When I was in public works, I proposed an idea of joint teams with major departments, joint teams with defense, joint team with police, joint teams with justice and so on, so that we can be able to deal with all the planning budgetary issues. They give us all their needs, and we say for this particular year, we need 10 police stations. And remember, you're not going to finish them in a year. It's going to be a multi-year thing. But all those things, they need proper planning from both sides. Now, the way we've been doing things, it's on an ad hoc basis. There's something very interesting with the police stations. We built police stations when we're midway. There were new specs to say, no. In terms of the model now, which we have adopted, they call it what? This, yeah, lady. The new model which they have adopted on the police stations, they would come and say, no, you will have to add this and that and so on. That chopping and changing in a construction is very costly. But it goes back to what? Poor planning, which is the sickness of government. But it's good that these issues are being raised because we must sit and deal with them. The other issue which I thought that I must respond to before officials talk to the technical issues. Shikori Kobaza, the two departments, National Treasury has been party to this. And a lot of these issues which are arising, it's because of the engagement which it has. But EDBSA comes in at the end, because EDBSA, you must be able to say, this is the work which we've done, this is the motivation, and then EDBSA says, is this motivation enough to say we can transfer the function? So it comes at the end. A lot of technical work has to be done by the two departments, and then they go to the DPSA once they're finished. That's why we're not, because it will be pre the process. The first process is us, and then the Treasury will deal with all those budgetary issues. And sometimes to think that you can transfer the budgets mid-financial year, it's not working. You have to work towards the end of the financial year with your planning and processes. Then, at the beginning of the financial year, when the Treasury starts the new allocations, then they take that into consideration. And by the way, also the executives on these issues of shifting the functions has to express itself. The DBSA has to motivate to the executive and say, on the basis of 123, which has been raised by Parliament, we think this has to happen. My understanding was that we're talking about operations which we can easily come and have an agreement amongst ourselves. Those would be very easy and quick. But if you're talking about legislative changes and all those things, you must just accept that it's going to be long. You know that there are legislations we've put here, or even amendments or bills, where it takes a very, very long time. So if this goes with legislative changes, we must agree that we have to do it in two parts. The first part is to respond to the immediate issues, which we must do jointly. Then the second part is to consider all the other processes, which talk to the budget, which talk to the transfer of the personnel, which talks to the change of the legislation, because you will have to change the legislation. So that is my understanding. But at an operational level, we can have an MOU amongst ourselves. And I think that's what we need to immediately deal with. That was my understanding. There's a very interesting question from Imam. Comrade, it's a very interesting question. Aren't we setting a trend? Depending on how we handle this, we might be setting a trend. It depends on how we handle this, because every department will start demanding its own things, that let's do it on our own. I remember during the time of President Zuma, when he said there's one public works, we don't have too many public works. His argument was, if you say education must have its own, and health must have its own, and so on and so on, what is the function of education? Is it not about education, the content, the teaching? What is the function of health? Are you not moving towards that particular danger that people in the other departments will be consumed into infrastructural issues? So it depends on how we handle this particular matter. We might set a trend, but if we handle it properly, we might not set a trend. And I think that question, the parliamentarians must be engaged with it, because you can end up with a department spending 30% of its time on another function instead of its main function. But put this debate, Honorable Paulson, juxtapose the infrastructure department vis-a-vis the state construction company. Or it can be an element of that. But take into consideration that we've been dealing more with social infrastructure. The mega infrastructure sits in the other departments. If you're talking about the huge freeways, you're talking about roads and so on and so on, they sit in the other departments. And if you're to have that department, it will be like a very super department, which sometimes is unmanageable. Maybe those things. But I think my view is very simple about a state infrastructure company or state company, construction company. Certain things can be done by the state, but there are things which cannot be done by the state. So in our ambition, we must say what is possible, what is not possible. And remember, you're going to be competing with the people in the private sector, competing even in terms of the salaries. We're struggling to pay the young engineers today. We take them to the university, they come back, they demand something even more than what we can give, even in terms of the OST. In fact, the reason why we can't keep them is because it's very attractive outside. We're doing a lot of the training of some of the young people and so on. We can employ one or two, but we can't employ all of them. That's unfortunate because of their demand and what the market is, where it's valuing the built and. So there are certain things we can do internally. There are certain things we can do. Where I think you also have a point, and I think I don't know whether it's Comrade Manana who raises this issue or Comrade Babaz. This thing of consultants who do the designs and everything, which is done outside, it's not law. It has been a practice in the department. Tell me if I'm wrong, your lady. It has been a practice, it's not law, of this design done by the consultants and so on. But the problem, it has to do with the quality assurance. Engineers are afraid to do these things, or built environment people, to do these things on their own, and then they have to quality assure them and so on. They feel that somebody else must do it, and then somebody else do the quality assurance. Because in construction, once there is a comeback, it tends to be very too much. People can land in jail. And I think that's what informed that. But it's something which we can be able to look at, this issue. Yes, ma'am. Now, most of the designs, you will have to go to get the consultant. It has been a... Sorry? Yes, the professional people, because it has been a practice in government for a very long time. It's not law, but it's something which we can be able to look at it and say, maybe let's do it internally, but and deal with these fears. Now, they will see the engineers, they call it the professional indemnity. They have their nice term, but I think they can be able to talk more about it. Let's come to the contracts that are not, contractors that are not delivering. A very sensitive issue. Because it depends on the experience of that contractor, contractor. The most experienced companies, if we're just going purely on performance and experience, will be appointing white companies only. That's a fact. During this debate of empowerment, you will have to take into consideration the new black companies who have not been very long in the space. You talk, when we go into the other forums, people tell us that we're not giving work to the small companies, the new emerging black contractors. So it's a tension between the two. How do you ensure that you give the job to those emerging as part of the empowerment so that they come into the space? At the same time, how do you make sure that they are competent in doing their work? That's the debate. You give a white company, they run with it, because they have experienced engineers and everything and so on. These others, you have to give them the small jobs. And then the complaint becomes, we're just given the crumbs. So it's. I was even challenging some of the guys. Why don't you pull your resources together and make one or two or three or four or five very big black companies like it's happening with WPHO and so on? Instead of coming up with the smaller things, okay, it's fine for renovating a school here and there and so on. But for the bigger projects, you need people with the proper muscle. So these are the tensions we find caught in between sometimes. But I think where you are right, if you have not delivered, we are not delivered. Whether we are an empowered company or not, a new upcoming, you have not delivered. There must be certain standards which we say you don't meet that particular standard. And these are the issues we are starting to be very harsh. And if we're very harsh, would have blacklisted a lot of black companies. And again, politically, it becomes something else. We get accused to say no, you're running with these particular companies. But I think it's a question of saying, when we give you the job, we must make you partner with an established company so that you learn the skill. You don't just want to rush. In some instances, people come and pose as well-established companies only to find that they do not even have companies. And you are saying, do you check them? No, they can take you to a nice site with everything. You go into a site with everything. And then you say, no, this one can be able to do the job. Only to find that it's not even his. After getting that thing, he's going to sell it to somebody else that tender.
No, Minister, you are very anti-black.
I'm not.
You are. You're very anti-black.
I'm not.
No.
I'm talking about what is practical.
You need Jesus. Really.
You see, that's your problem.
Help you.
So I'm saying, therefore, that construction space also tends to be a very complex space where you have to balance things. You want to empower your people who are denied access, but at the same time you don't want to compromise the standards. And that means a serious balancing act. In some instances, we've been taken to court several times. You've given a company which doesn't which is, sometimes they say it meets the requirement, but in terms of the scores, and once they go to court and the court has ruled, unfortunately you have to start that process from scratch. But all I'm trying to say, my summary is, Chairperson, for now what we need to do, short-term things, Chairperson, as you are saying, detailed implementation plans, and and on the basis of that, we run with that. Once we continue with the other issues, which might need legislative change and so on and so on, and without forgetting what the imam has said about a particular trend, which you might say.
He's not an imam.
Sorry.
His surname is imam.
Okay. And then also...
Sorry. Can we please be orderly? Because as you interrupt the minister, it gets distracted. And also, in terms of time, we don't have the luxury of time. We have to go to the house, you know that, after this. All right. Thanks.
The last part is that I think the officials can be able to do some of these things very quickly.
Mm.
Even the companies who can be engaged, if it's urgent, you are able to say to the company, work 24/7. But if you say that, it means more, and the prices have to go up if they have to work 24/7, especially on sensitive areas like a hospital.
Sure.
But I think we have to get into that. And because even on your budget, you have to answer, why did you increase? But if you say it was a hospital because of 1, 2, and 3, it's better. But lastly, Chairperson, part of the problem. In government, it's because in certain areas, it's because there's no consequences.
Oh, yeah.
And people want to use connections to deal with issues. Let me make one example. It's a pity that Daya has just gone out. One last example, Chairperson. I'm sorry to talk lot. On the leases. When we came in, we discovered that we're paying 145%. 45% more above the market rate on our leases to the private, what we call landlords. That man has been dealing with that, Udaya governor. Now, we sat with SIU, investigated, we sat with the Treasury, and came up with a framework for the leases. And even the pricing of the square meterage and so on. Now, those who have long been chowing nicely, the prices have to come down now. They're screaming politically that this minister is disadvantaging the black landlords because he wants us to charge at this particular level. They are screaming. They've even made complaint in big political offices. But what I'm trying to say is that fortunately that we have done it together with Treasury and the SIU, the new framework, and we are implementing it. It's moving very slowly, because they do not want to sign on those things at a lower price, which they've been overcharging and so on. So these are the challenges which, and especially if it has been a practice and deeply rooted in your own system, it's difficult to do away. But somebody has to do away with it. And I guess with the defense, see, the difference with the defense chair is that they work on orders. If they order people to do the work, it's going to be done. With us, it's a debate, this and that, and so on. But working with the defense, I think some of the things have to be done. And I also feel strongly that some of the time frames might have to revise them, especially when you're talking about the hospital. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Minister, for those insights. Over to you, Mr. Maro.
Minister covered a lot of context, so some of the context questions I'll not go into, except to say, where it talks to precedent to other clients, I think at the last meeting this matter was aired very extensively, that the military establishment is a unique client. And in fact, Minister was even saying the issue of a civilian department managing and military operations need to be reviewed. But in our engagement with the defense, there is elements of the Defense Act and the Endowment Act that specifically talks to the role of defense in their own property management.
And it's those that makes this a unique case that is not necessarily applicable to the rest of the portfolio, because the rest of the portfolio falls under GIAMA, and those will have to be able to segregate those issues. On the issue of implementing agents, very shortly, the implementing agents mainly are government entities that have developed certain particular unique skills that can be augment other government departments. Particularly, for instance, the department, the Development Bank of South Africa, DBSA, with its work with the provinces and municipalities, have developed certain particular skills around procurement in infrastructure that we can piggyback on, so that we don't actually have to replicate all of the things that they've done. Then you've got also KUHA, you've got IDT, similarly. So the implementing agents are not private entities, they're government agencies that have developed a capacity over time. The issue of contractors, I think we acknowledge. We have done a review of the performance of our project and the contractors. I just want to highlight one element, which is a big issue with contractors. Our SCM, government SCM processes give some kind of restriction in terms of how you exclude contractors. For instance, you can't just say you don't have capacity, they're excluded. You actually have to ask the contractor to demonstrate that they've got capacity. If they say yes, you can't just say you don't have capacity, because they want to exclude the possibility of people being disadvantaged on the basis of individuals just judging people not to have capacity. But it's something that we are now tightening up in terms of risk management with our contractors. I want to also just correct that the pie chart that you see of the 4.5 billion and the 3.6 billion, it is not income and statement and profit, it's slightly more complex than that. In fact, the Department of Public Works, in terms of its total portfolio, and we're engaging with National Treasury, our spend on maintenance and the overall running of our property management is underfunded. And this is a kind of issue, so I don't want to give the impression that we're making a profit. In fact, when you look at the entire portfolio, there's huge funding gaps that we need to deal with. The issue of approaching the DPSA, I think the minister has dealt with. We will have to come to a point to deal with the DPSA. I think on the issue of high-level condition assessment at Bloemfontein, my head of projects, Mr. Abbott, will come to that to say what do they actually do to come to the high-level assessment. On the issue of budgets, without complicating the issue, there is current allocation sitting in both Public Works and Department of Defense. So what we are saying is, we will, when you run projects, there will be projects that slow down or are not carried out, but the money is available. But we are able to take that money legitimately to other projects. That's what we're talking about. So it's within our current allocation between the two departments. So that's how we're going to be dealing with those issues. I think we answered the issue of the DPSA, condition assessment. And we acknowledge, I think, the issue of engaging people on the ground. With this high-level condition assessment, the two teams actually went to the ground with the people in Bloemfontein to do the condition assessment. So that we are correcting. I think Keshe is acknowledged that some of the timelines are in relation to what you call the crisis are problematic. But part of it is that in the absence of getting approval of deviation from SCM processes, that is normally the problem. That is, you can't just go, even if it's a crisis, if you believe you have to circumvent procurement processes, you actually have to approach National Treasury to seek for a deviation and a motivation for that. So what we have put here is, if we follow procurement processes, this is what is going to happen. However, between ourselves, we will obviously, on a case-by-case basis, there are certain things we're going to have to ask for a SCM deviation from National Treasury, so that we can go on an emergency basis as opposed to normal procurement. However, I agree with your suggestion that we may have to craft a short-term project implementation plan and send to yourself in terms of
the areas that you've considered to be crises and emergencies. So we'll have to do that. Chair, I'm going to look to my colleagues to see whether there are other things that they would like to add that they have been asked. I'll leave it there, then I'll just check to my colleagues whether they want to add any explanation, and my head of projects, Ms. Abbas, will also add a few comments. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Minister and Honourable Chair and the Honourable Members. I'm Lieutenant General Jabu Mbuli. I'm the Chief of Logistics of the South African National Defence Force. I mean, most of the issues have been this thing outlined. And as we have already agreed, the two departments on the sitting down and try and come up with the a plan to look into all these issues that are troubling us as uniform members when it comes to our facilities. If I have to explain that, giving an example of the dangers of the deteriorating facilities, what that leads to ordinary soldiers, the troops, to leave the barracks and go and rent in the locations and in the squatters camps. It has its own problem. Was that when it comes to the state of readiness of the units, when you have been called upon to deploy your forces, you will never find them. Now, with this sitting, the agreements that we are having, and we then agree that no, the function, we do it ourselves as a defense force, it will go a long way in addressing most of these issues that we are faced with as the military. I don't want to say a lot over these issues, but I still say, as the military, we truly want those functions to be handed over to the defense. That will save us from these ills that everybody has we truly, as my colleague has mentioned here, over the issue of the national treasury. I think national treasury is an important part in this matter, both of the procurement processes.
Sorry, Chair. So I just wanted to know, Chair, will there be an opportunity for follow-up questions? Because there's something that's concerning me with regard to the Department of Defense, and I think the Minister alluded to that, and we need the assurance that whilst that might move to them, do they have the capacity to deal with all these matters or specific matters only? I don't want to do this, Chair, but I just thought if we can get that answer in the report.
Thank you. I can also answer that one, Honourable Chair. In the military, we We have defense works formation. In the defense works formation, it's a formation that was set up for the same reasons because of the problems that we are facing. We have a strategic facility management plan that we are that we have put up in the 9 regions. We've got regional works units. Apart from that, we are trying to build a capacity. We have sent some of our soldiers in the countries that are doing courses to be engineers. Cuba, we have received a request from Vietnam, they said, what's the number? The number, I think it's about 15 engineers that they require that they will train for us. And also internally, those we have engineers who are studying internally. We are building that capacity. We are not saying that, no, we are fully fleshed on the thing. We are building that capacity because we are preparing ourselves to take the full responsibility on this matter. We have quite a number of engineers who are reserve force members. We have their own businesses, but they are still members of the Defense Force. It's a matter of calling them up whenever this thing is required. We are building that capacity. Thank you.
Don't say it's sensitive. Because it was right in the open, it was played in the open. One of the reasons we sat with Nkandla Debaga is because a side of Commander-in-Chief was given to a civilian department and exposed to a lot of contractors, independent, and so on and so on. And I've always been asking this question, General, and don't answer it now. The minister will answer it. And I think the members must think about it very seriously. Isn't that the president? Isn't that the president in terms of his support everywhere in all the countries? It's done by the Defense Force. You see, to call a civilian department to do security arrangement, security, whatever.
In a fire pool and
in a presidential thing. For me, that was incorrect. That's why we got so exposed on what we're doing. But it's something to slip over. And I was raising it because generals must think about this thing. Thank you, Chair.
And there's a crash there, you know? A crash there. From our side, in principle, we agree with the proposed model. We don't have a problem with it, because we know very well that most of the problems, for example, I for one, I never thought maybe they would be able to bring the water. But they for that purpose. So, I'm saying that from our side, in principle, we don't have a problem with the model as proposed. The JCPS cluster, Justice Crime Prevention and Security cluster, one of the biggest lines of the Department of Public Health. And you will remember that most of the time when we come here to present, when we come here to present a quarterly report, remember that every time we come here, we will present quarterly expenditure reports. One of the reasons for underspending that the department gives us is that it's because of delays in the delivery of infrastructural projects by the Department of Public Works. Coming back to the issue, in principle, yes, we agree. From our side, is that an agreement between the two departments in terms of the functions? And then the budget associated with those functions, then we can simply migrate the budget if there's still any budget that sits with public works. Coming back to the issue of precedence, yes, I agree with the minister completely. We must be cautious when we deal with this because I know when we engage the department, when we deal with the in the budget process, when we engage the department, for example, Department of Correctional Services. They've got a proposal that they can use inmates as part of rehabilitation to do certain work. So I think they too, they are waiting to see what happens in this space. So tomorrow it could be them. So, from our side, is just to understand the full financial implications of this model. I'll give you an example. There are those departments, some of them, which have been created out of certain departments under the name function shift. To say it will simply be a function shift with the budget. But once they are established, moved away from the mother department, you realize that there are some hidden costs. A simple example, like we're not able to audit costs, for example. And some other hidden costs. So from our side, it's just to understand the full implication of this migration of the function. For example, there are functions, there are employees within the Department of Public Works. What are the implications? That's where DPSA comes in, including the organizational structure for the Department of Defense. Now that they will be having this function themselves. So these are some of the things that we need to understand and deal with before we fully migrate, so that we understand the full financial implications. Because we might be adopting a model, maybe, which is likely to be costly. I'm not saying that it's costly. And again, Chair, I think one other thing is, you will remember even when we present quarterly expenditure report, where in here the Department of Defense is overspending on compensation of employees. We see this as an opportunity, for example, where it could be one of those exit mechanisms, because we talk of undeployable members, but some of them are artisans, they can still be used in that space of defense work formation. Thank you.
Any other input? Because you see, the thinking must take us forward. Because backwards, we're not going there. We're going forward. And we think it will be in the best interest of this country. Particularly this department being properly serviced, budgeted for, and also the maintenance part. And we told you, there's no fence and there's expensive assets that if they are lost, government is going to lose. And we don't want government to lose. Instead, we'd rather make progress and in the best interest of the security of this country. Yeah, I'm sure there's alignment of thinking there. Is there any other addition from National Treasury? Covered. Okay. Now I want to see who to start with. You. Okay.
I don't want to ask a question. I do want to confirm that this committee is known to have continuously raised this issue of empowerment of black companies. And so on that, we totally agree, Minister. What we want to emphasize, though, is that we must not lower the standards. We must not give people contracts because they are black companies. They must prove themselves to be capable. But we will keep on raising this question with all the departments that we've met, because we believe that it has got to be done. And there is no one else who can propel this to higher heights than government itself. So even those companies who want to take chances by saying no, we will not speak on their behalf, but we will insist that state departments do consider capable, capacitated black companies to do work for government. Thank you, Chairperson.
No, I hear it very well, Chief. We must not give people more work than they can do it. We must give them what they can be able to perform, and we see the proper results. And you are right. It's our policy to empower those who are disadvantaged. But I'll request the chairperson and the committee members to protect me from Honorable Paulson, who has just gone out. When you raise problem and say it's anti-black, why are you anti-black black contractors? You heard him saying that. Because he can run with that thing outside. But the last point, which I thought, I need to raise. Now, We will engage with the correctional services. But I thought that the Treasury was saying we must look into the full implications of whatever we're doing. We don't start and later on we say, no, we didn't realize. But on the emergency issues, I don't think we just have to deal with that. But we must also be open to the opinion and the views of the executive as a whole, because there is also an executive which is dealing with all these things. They might also have the views on the matters and want to engage, not a particular executive authority who's affected, because sometimes we tend to be territorial, we want to protect the space. So it's very important that as the debate goes on, where we are able to implement, we must implement with speed. And I think we are ready to do that. We are ready to do that. So
we really appreciate the engagement and the spirit in which we are engaging. And all of us now, our focus, our goal is transfer this maintenance function to defense. That's our goal. So whatever that happens in between, it must take us there, because there is a resolution of the House, all right, on this matter. But also, I think the matter that was raised on the emerging companies vis-a-vis big companies, I thought government has got a policy to say the big companies must subcontract the emerging companies, with the main reason for these emerging companies to learn from the big companies. So I think if you can monitor that, it should happen. The condition for, you know, awarding to a big, it is, you know, on condition that they subcontract. Otherwise, they fail, you know, to get the contract, the award. I thought there was that policy by government. Ours is just to monitor it all the way, because there's a high risk of giving the emerging companies, because there you must see there's then I see cardiac thinking, cardiac feeling for them. Can't take decisions basing them on feelings, because you see this government is sitting where it is today. They say we're not delivering. See these protests. They say we're not delivering, but it's not us. It is these feelings that we've had, and then gave emerging companies, those who are feeling with them, but look at where we're standing now. And they're not saying it is these companies. Since government. And no, this government said we will create jobs, we'll give, but I think also in our thinking, we should do it in such a way that we do not do it at a cost. Yeah, at the cost of government. I'm sure... I'm representing your sentiments, Honorable Minister. Yeah. Am I right, Honorable Minister? If you close your eyes.
I'm a big company. I'm a company. If I have a look, we are straightforward.
But, yeah. But they have failed us. So we have that as our springboard to say, we hear you, but for now, this is what we want to achieve. Once things are up and running and, you know, there's improvement in terms of service delivery, we can then reconsider them. But by that time, they would have learned from the big companies. Yeah. Something else of what they say, something else that as government, we have to deliver the service, and it must be quality service, because we're using the taxpayers' money, and the taxpayers' money must benefit from the tax that they're contributing. The worst that can happen to us is that the taxpayer says, I'm paying, but I'm not getting water, so I'll stop paying my tax, because I'm not getting water. So I think it's just a debate that is somewhere there, you know, everybody's talking about it, but we must prevent this from happening. I think we've come to the end of our discussion, unless defense has still got any addition. No, sir? Do you have anything to add? No. Okay, you're fine. All right. Honourable members, in closing, I would like to thank the Minister of Public Works for coming. Honourable Minister, I'm sure you can see the value add by you sitting or by your presence in this meeting. even your officials listening to your line of march. So, indeed, we really appreciate. And I'm sure even your committee is benefiting like we have benefited today. Thank you so much. You have been a value add, particularly in this setup and this engagement.
And your counterpart?
Who's my counterpart?
For your committee to worry me why I'm not in that part when I'm here.
Okay.
So
that's,
you go and speak on my behalf.
That's something that we can discuss on another day. But let me finish here. I wish to reiterate that the committee is pleased that there is work being done by the ministerial task team. We also appreciate the extensive nature of the work that we will have to be carried out for the devolution of the maintenance and refurbishment function from public works to defense. Sure, you can hear we're not mincing our words on this one. It has to include various stakeholder and changes to policy and legislative frameworks. We're saying whatever that we do, let's do it within the parameters of the law. But it is a good, I think it's a good move. We agree with Minister on the need to engage all affected stakeholders. There is definitely a need to engage the Minister of Public Service and Administration by your good self. But if you think we need to also add our voice, we'll hear from you, Honorable Minister, if there's any voice that we have to add. Well, Chapter 3 enjoins us to work in the spirit of cooperative governance. What is important to the committee is that we find a lasting solution to the challenges we saw in Bloemfontein. We are aware that these challenges are not limited to Bloemfontein. At the end of the day, government must respond to the needs of the military. Most of these issues are short-term and should be resolved urgently. We would have expected that the anticipated completion dates respond to the crisis that we observed in Bloemfontein. But I'm happy because the minister also spoke to this one to say, indeed, he strongly feels that some of the dates would have to be brought nearer. We would also have expected that a lot was said about how to deal with poor performing contractors going forward. The Constitution demands that the needs of the people are responded to promptly. I repeat, promptly. Thank you very much. Honorable Minister, thank you indeed. I saw you really wanted to run, so it's fine. We can release you now on this one. Honorable members, do we have any announcements? Any correspondence? None. The meeting stands adjourned. Yeah, no. I am ready. You can ask him to give me a call now. Listen. Welcome to Cohort.
I almost wanted to say that I'm working on my phone. Maybe we need to talk to the 10th floor.